Hey guys, welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. This is actually our second episode in, Catholic Dads and Pop Culture. And
Catholic Dads respond to dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. So we are actually responding now to the big game, The Halftime Show.
Yep. And what was I going to say? There's something else I was going to say. You haven't introduced yourself. Like, as far as like going through our normal episode intro, go.
Nah, 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 nah. I'm the one and only Crispy. I don't know. Like, is this, like, doing the Snoop Dogg thing, man. Check me out. I got the shades.
Oh my gosh.
I'm all about 90s
your
West
Nana
Coast rap.
Nana was supposed to be Snoop's.
I brought a hoodie. I'm in it.
Oh my gosh. Yours was more like na 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 than it was Snoop's. All right, and I'm Matt Rice, and we are Catholic dads trying to become the dads God has called us to be. So today we are responding to the halftime show at the big game, right?
Responding, reacting. I don't know if they're waiting for our response. I'm not sure.
Reacting to, responding to. The funny thing is, and if you, I don't know if you guys, I don't even know how I got clued into this or tipped off to this or whatever, but we're not allowed to use a certain phrase or a certain word when talking about that game on a particular Sunday a couple weeks ago. You're supposed to use the phrase the big game unless you want to pay the NFL a significant amount of money to be able to use that phrase.
For licensing. But if I was a waiter and I had a bag of soup and a bowl, I could offer you soup or bowl. I could do that.
And usually it goes soup or salad, doesn't it?
Yeah, but we're out of salad, so all we offer is a bowl. So I could offer you soup or bowl. So
How is that here? Like, soup or salad, I get it. And then, like, when you're talking about soup, you have a cup or a bowl. Like, how do you have soup? What are you going to put your soup in?
A soup or bowl. You don't want to get sued, so you got to separate them, okay?
So anyway, so we're going to do our best to use the phrase, the big game. And we're talking about the halftime show during that game. And you know what? I'm going to tell Taylor to do his best to bleep us out, bleep you out, just for no reason, maybe. Like, he could bleep you out for no reason. But especially if we say that particular phrase. But everybody knows what we're talking about. So I might have, like, I'm not sure if I have a minority opinion among Catholics or anything like that, but I really enjoyed that halftime show. I really liked it.
This is what we're going for. Okay. So, first of all, we're going to talk about what our thoughts were on this, halftime show. Whew, I almost said it on the halftime show. But also as Catholic dads, like, what relevance does it have? And at the end, I really want to touch on a couple of pieces that I thought we should capture and think about. But Matt, were you into hip hop in the 90s?
I was into enough of it for the songs that they played to be songs that I remembered. And
good,
knew.
Yeah.
And I listened to them.
And I was getting shoved into lockers by people who liked the Super Bowl halftime show, right? Back in the 90s and
not
all that
by me, because I was in the lockers too.
Okay, good, good, good. So it goes back. There was a nostalgia, or what was it that really captured you at the halftime show?
Oh, it was the nostalgia for sure. And I don't know if you noticed, but all throughout the whole, like, the game, all the commercials were like 90s references.
Did you see, like, how many Big Lebowski commercial references there
and
were?
And the cable guy, like a whole bunch of other things. It was like this whole game and everything around it is meant for me. Like, it's meant for us. It's meant for the kids of the 90s.
Yeah, and so the target demographic was Gen X and then a little bit of the ex-millennials, right? So the millennials are kind of the older millennials. That was the sweet spot. My dad, I asked him what he thought. He's like, worst halftime show ever. Get off my lawn, you whippersnappers. I'm like, but you love The Who. He's like, yeah, The Who was amazing. I was like, yeah, that was 30 years ago. And The Who was popular 50 years ago. This is our version of The Who, Dad. He's like, oh. It kind of was like, okay. So it really was kind of hitting that sweet spot demographic where you have the highest spending capacity so that the NFL could retain you as season ticket holders and blah, 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 blah. Yep. So from a marketing or a fiscal kind of approach, that was a great marketing strategy.
Yeah, I was really surprised, like, when I was watching it live, when they mentioned that was the first time that rap has been a part of the halftime show.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I was like, really? And I haven't gone back to double check. I mean, I'm sure if they said that, it was true, right? I mean, that's the media, whatever they tell you is true, right?
Yeah, then no one ever lies to us.
So anyway, I was really shocked by that. And so then there was a, like, and this sounds weird, you know, but there was a little bit of pride, you know, as being like that being my era of music, you know, like the artists, you know, or from that era when I was growing up. And then, yeah, for that to be the first time ever, you know, was our music growing up, you know,
it almost felt like a historical piece. Of course, sure. we had Paul McCartney a few years ago, but that wasn't our era. Mm-hmm. We did have Bruno Mars play. And again, that's younger. Paul McCartney, I think, is a little bit older. But again, in regards to the range of the audience that we're speaking to, there's different people that kind of vibe with different music. Like there's Catholic dads that, you know, are just now like young fathers that are like Bruno Mars. Like I listened to that in high school, you know, I'm sure there's some Catholic dads, our dads, that but were this like was, Paul McCartney.
Like, I think what I'm thinking is like this being a first, like Bruno Mars, was he a first of anything?
Like, no.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at, like, as far as the pride thing, you know, is there's a, like, not that I had anything to do with that music or anything like that, but it's, you know, that music, that the artist or whatever came from our time period. I don't know. Just, I think it's interesting. It's kind of neat. I was actually, and I don't know where you want to go necessarily next with this, but I was actually really surprised at the, not the quality of the show, because I expected quality. There's conflicts here, but, the cleanliness of the show.
So that's what I wanted to share. I felt like in regards to West Coast hip hop or West Coast gangster rap, as some people would call it, which was awesome because it was in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So in regards to like, this is home, like some of these people were selling cassette tapes within 10 miles of where that stadium was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Trying to make their name and different things like that. So I thought that was a really neat story arc that existed. I personally would have appreciated the Counting Crows taking the halftime show or something like that. Like the bands that I was into back in the mid 90s were not reflected on in the halftime show. But that doesn't matter. I can appreciate what happened. The other thing that I appreciated is that they did clean up some of the language and even arguably some of the messaging. They made that exposure to the West Coast hip hop scene very accessible, very big screen friendly. And yes, there was some cleavage that was shown. There were some legs and tushies that were shown. Like buyer beware, this was not necessarily a family friendly overall. But yeah. It was definitely more accessible than if you just would have said, you know, hey Alexa, play some Snoop Dogg. Yeah. Like no. You want to filter on that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. I really like Snoop. Like, he has been one of my favorite. Like, I don't know him personally. I don't watch a lot of what he does, but I love his online persona, like whatever persona he shows that I see. I like that guy. You know, I don't know. Like, there's probably a lot about him that I shouldn't like, but the fact that he does what? I mean, even some of the commercials he does, the Corona one. And then the Martha Stewart, he's on with Martha Stewart.
The lighters? He's selling lighters?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if you're aware of what that might be referencing, but it's not legal.
Yeah. I know.
But there is something about when he danced upon at the Super Bowl, when he did his little kind of wiggle or whatever, it was playful. It was fun. Like you could tell that he wasn't just performing, but he was actually enjoying himself. He actually felt more authentic than 50 Cent, who definitely looked like he was executing a performance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
that may be what it is that I like about him, because it seems like he is just himself. Like it or not, like this is who I am, you know? And he's comfortable with who he is, and that comes through.
Into the depth real quick.
Okay,
I think that authenticity is important to communicate. So that's one takeaway. I think Snoop's authenticity, he was fully who he was. And I don't agree with everything about who he is.
Sure.
Right. But his authenticity came through. And as dads, I think we need to be authentic in the way that we are. Right. And man, do I have some horrible dad jokes, you know, like they just don't land. But I'm not going to quit shooting my shot because that's who I am. Like my kids know that I'm going to have eye rollers, but then there's going to be a few belly laughs in there as well. And if I start changing the way my fatherhood is executed, in order to meet, the social context of my children, I guess that would be, if I'm trying to be cool in their terms instead of cool in my terms, that comes across as inauthentic and my kids can see right through that. Oh, they don't need me to be their best friend. They need me to be their dad first and foremost. Yeah, and if there's a friendship there that exists in that fatherhood, that's great, but they don't need another friend. They need a father. Yeah. And so authenticity is something that I thought was a takeaway from the halftime show.
Yeah, you start to look and feel scripted, you know, if you're just going through the motions or going through someone else's motions or whatever.
And I'm the worst when it comes to being scripted. Oh my gosh. So good.
On that note, and now this, I don't think this is a stretch, but knowing Dre's role that he played in Eminem, in him becoming who he is.
Right.
That's another connection to fatherhood that I think is really cool. Now, what he had to do to get Eminem to be popular and different things like that. I don't know the nitty gritty of all that kind of stuff. But just the, and again, I'm going leaning back or going back to Pride. Like towards the end of that, the, that show, when he's, I doubt he's actually mixing when he's pretending like he's mixing,
right.
But he's holding up his, you know, one, you know, finger or whatever while Eminem's singing, oh crap.
Lose Yourself.
No, whatever. Anyway, like I could sense this pride that Dre has that Eminem is who he is.
Right.
And I bet like, and I probably had like nothing to do with the show, just my own projection, you know, onto him. But that, like that he was able to, I mean, help him become who he is.
He recognized giftedness. He named that giftedness, and he cultivated that giftedness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think those are three aspects of fatherhood. And so to see them from knowing their history of where he kind of discovered Eminem and allowed him to have a platform, and then they're sharing arguably the largest stage in the world at the big game halftime show.
Yep.
There's something neat about that story arc as well. And I think as fathers, we get to see that maybe post-graduation, or we get to see these little moments like our kids. And you mentioned it when you talked about senior night with your son, right? Yep. And do you want to just briefly share what happened at senior night? They were giving speeches and your son's name got mentioned like four or five times.
Yeah, I swear. I don't know if I mentioned it here or not, but it was football. I think it was the senior night for football. When like every kid like was recorded and they played it over. And one of the questions they asked all the kids was who was influential or whatever. And I forget exactly how it all worked, but there were two or three kids who mentioned my son's faith that was influential in their faith life. And yeah, like it's amazing to hear that said of your son.
And I see parallels between that moment and the stage that they shared at the halftime show. Yeah.
And like on this same topic, the like Eminem is not Dre's son, right? There's no relation there.
Zero.
The same thing goes as far as our role as fathers in the lives of other young men.
Yeah.
Like it's not just your kids that you're meant to recognize. You said three things.
Yeah, to name the talent,
You said recognize it, name it, and cultivate it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so we're not just called to do that with our own biological children. We're called to do that with, like from our perspective as far as men, with every young man we encounter, that we have that opportunity to, like when you recognize a gift in a young man in your life, whatever way, whether it's at your job or at your parish or whatever, recognize that gift, name it, like tell that kid about that talent that you see, and then do what you can to cultivate it. Like if you have a role to play in cultivating that gift, do it.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah. Another piece that I really appreciated that I thought was, relates to us as Catholic dads. We saw this set, and the set seemed pretty elaborate, a little bit complicated. even at moments somewhat confusing. But it was actually a bunch of homes. Mm. Like a showcase that music and celebration, like that's most appropriate in the home, right? I'm not saying it's inappropriate. You guys are celebrating in the streets, you know, shame on you. But there's something about the spirit of celebration and really kind of togetherness that that they tried to showcase. And the way that they showcase togetherness is in the home. Right?
That's interesting. So, I never even thought about that. I mean, is it a bit of a stretch to think that they did that on purpose or like that they intended that kind of thing? I don't know. I think so. There's so much that happens, even if it's unintended, that is just it's the way that it happens regardless, because subconscious isn't the right word, but it's just it's
ingrained.
It's ingrained in us, you know. And so I think that's a really neat thing to have caught. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, the idea of it being a house party or something along those lines, I think it also captured an intimacy that only exists in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because going into someone's home is very different than meeting them at a coffee shop or something along those lines. Yeah. So,
or at a club.
Or at the club.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, though, was 50 Cent, though, was his at a club?
Half dollar?
Yeah.
You don't want to get sued. Maybe that's a brand. That maybe that's a brand we can't say.
But no, that one, that setting in that one was more of a club, wasn't it?
The original video, I think he was in a gym doing upside down sit-ups, and that's how that's what he was referencing. That original music video, right?
I don't know. I thought you were joking about the. I never watched that video.
His performance was referencing back to his original music video with that song.
Gotcha. So, okay.
Only because anyway. I did the research. I didn't actually know. It's because I love you guys, Catholic dads. I have no idea what happened at the halftime show. Yeah. So I educated myself a lot over the last 48 hours.
I have a feeling Taylor's going to have a kick out of this one. And we're going to get a ton of texts from Taylor on this one. We should have had him on this
Taylor one. Would have been a great one to get his thoughts and opinions. Taylor, we give you permission right now to just insert audio. Just freeze us and insert audio on what really happened at that halftime show.
I would like to see Taylor record himself reacting to us and then put that as the third video on this video.
All right, gentlemen, here I am. This video is way different than I thought it was going to be. I genuinely thought y'all were going to come on here and be the old grandpa's get off my lawn saying that you hated the show, because you're both old. And I really thought you were going to do the Catholic thing of like, oh, it wasn't explicitly Catholic, so we have to say we hated it. I'm actually genuinely proud of you. Good job, guys. This is just like classic rock for our parents. It's classic rock. It was 30 years ago. Everybody on that stage was over 50 years old for the most part, except for Kendrick. So good job, guys. My favorite two things that have happened so far. One, the look on Chris's face when Matt said with all genuineness that Eminem is not Dr. Dre's son. Oh my God. Of course he's not his son. And then also, y'all were complimenting Snoop Dogg, which is perfectly fine. Snoop is a cool cat. He is so smooth. But of course he was more relaxed than 50 Cent. 50 Cent was hanging upside down. It's not relaxing. Anyway, y'all are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Okay, now to the part that I thought was the biggest takeaway. There was an overwhelming surge on social media and things like that of people in my or our generation, the Gen X, the millennial type of genre generations, that just were like, this was the best halftime show ever. It felt specifically curated for me. And the further away you got from that demographic mark, the more people were like, meh, meh, yeah. You know, but best halftime show ever. I saw it at least 5 or 6 times among my Facebook following, right? So just to be clear where I'm at, it wasn't like I was on TikTok seeing all these people being like, wah, 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 you know, it was on Facebook and they were like, this is the best halftime show since my MySpace account got deactivated. But I think there's something about that reality of like, why did that resonate, or why did that awaken something in me? Because I can think about, and this is going to go back to Counting Crows, I can think about that album, August and Everything After, and sitting on car rides with my Discman, like listening to that thing over and over and over again. And it really was a coming of age album for me, just because I was, you know, lower middle class. So you had two albums. It was either that or Meat Loaf, Bat Out of Hell 2. So a lot of Counting Crows got played. And had they played, I would have been taken back to that adolescence. As Catholic dads, I think it's sometimes important for us to walk down memory lane and to go back to that moment to where it was like, I was coming of age too. I was struggling with what does it mean to fall in love, or there's hair where there was no hair before, like all these different coming of age moments, right? And especially as our teens or our children get into that adolescent stage, to remember what an interesting time it was and how that still lingers. Like that still, and that's why it resonated with so many people, was the nostalgia factor. And not to say, oh, you don't like this, shame on you, but to say, this is why I did. This mm-hmm. is why it was significant to me. Because I think good fathers are also great storytellers. And to be able to share, this is what I was going through. These are some of the things that were happening. I remember in high school, the first time I encountered this song, the big game, our football team was XYZ. And just to be able to share stories, to allow people to enter into our history, because that helps them better understand who we are, where we are, and how to journey with us along the way.
Yeah. I'm not going to share with my kid what I was doing in the first time that I heard that song.
why not share with the internet, Matt? Come on.
I do there's some, another thought came up when you were talking about that is, if we are this nostalgic about music that was tangential to maybe our culture, you know, or the genre of music that we listen to, because I was like death metal and hardcore punk, but I knew this music that was played during the halftime show. I still knew it. It was tangential to my life, but it was still part of my life at that time.
Right.
If we're this nostalgic about that, you know, and keeping in mind that the music that your kids are listening to today, they are going to be that nostalgic about it 20 years from now, 30 years from now. You know, and it's going to do the same thing to them. The music that's being played today is going to do the same thing to them 30 years from now, as the music that we heard, you know, at the big game, did to us. You know, and maybe like I don't know the age group of the dads that are watching this or listening to this. Maybe it didn't, you know, do that for them, but there is music that does do that for you. And so I don't know. Like it makes me think of not necessarily. Like there's some music that I shouldn't have been listening to when I was that age. There's some kids that my kids shouldn't be listening to at this age.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter if it's popular during that age that they're in. It's going to impact them and be something that reminds them of their teenage years 30 years from now.
And that's it. The halftime show didn't move me.
Yeah.
The music in the halftime show didn't move me. But there was other music from that era that did move me. And I need to remember that I could get moved passionately by the music of my time. And so to allow myself to journey with my children and the music that moves them, like the Hamilton soundtrack, outstanding. I mean, in all fairness, outstanding, but not like twice a day all the way through outstanding. It was like, yeah, we can enjoy it. We can appreciate it. There's some songs we have to skip, but my children, some of their friends, like they could really connect in a deep way to some of the different things that were going on in the Hamilton soundtrack. And there's other artists and different things like that, that your kids will connect to. How do we enter into their story and also share our story? Because I think that's what relationship that can help relationship grow. So,
yeah, I think back to how many times I listened to certain songs in high school. And in junior high, trying to memorize lyrics, because that's what my kids are trying to do now.
Yeah.
Like even with Encanto, they're like printed out all the lyrics to all of the songs and they're trying to memorize all the words. And I did that, but it was to Ice Ice Baby, you know, like trying to remember like all those lyrics. And man, I got through the first verse, and then I'm out. You know, but friends of mine, like same age group, they like my friend Allison, man, she's got every single lyric down. And I don't even think she needs the music to sing it all, you know.
I got owned because I thought I had it. And so we're singing along on this trip in college. We're doing a mission trip and we're singing it on the bus right out there. And then I just botch a lyric hard and everyone's like, what? I'm like, that's what it says. Beachfront Avenue. They're like, it's Detroit Avenue. I'm like, it's beachfront. It's, I swear. Oh no. They're like, no, it's Detroit. Like, do you know where he's coming from? Have you seen the music video? So Yeah.
So anyway, we're about time to wrap up. Anything you wanted to say to close this out, Chris?
Yeah. So we do not endorse the halftime show. We do not condone the halftime show, but I think there are some key lessons. So just a quick review of those key lessons. There's a beautiful example of what it means to bear fruit. And we can look for that. We saw it in regards to the relationship between Dr. Day. How disconnected am I from hip hop? Or did you check out the latest Dr. Day album? Okay. Dr. Dre. The second thing is share your story. What moved you then? Why? And allow your young people to enter that. I can also think, just to share my story a little bit, about my conversion experience and that Jars of Clay album. Flood, I think it was called, or whatever, the Blue album. Like, I can listen to that and remember what it was like to actually encounter Christ on a personal level for the first time. And so don't be afraid to go back through the archives to remember the other things that moved you and to share that with your children.
What I might like to see, like, so we've mentioned a whole bunch of old people music this whole time. What
I would like to comments.
See, yeah. What I would like to see is it, like, if there was a, like, an artist at that halftime show that would have done the same thing for you. That this has done for us, who would it have been?
Yeah.
You know,
you get to pick five because they picked five. Put your top five artists, but they have to be able to, because there was a connection, you know, Kendrick Lamar.
They have to be on the stage at the same time.
Yeah. They would have to at least fit to where it was like it flowed into that, into that, and that. And then the last one I want to see
Garth Brooks next to Marilyn Manson. Can we do that?
Wouldn't Marilyn Manson eat Garth Brooks?
Maybe.
The last one that I want to say, and then Matt, if you have any closing thoughts, but Mary J. Blige, she at the end of her set just fell down in a very dramatic way. I want to let you know that if that is you as a father at the end of the day, well done, good and faithful servant. Like, she came back after kind of being out of the spotlight for years and gave the performance of her life. And just was like, I'm spent, I'm done. And she just fell over. And I was just like, there are days at the end of the day, especially young fathers out there, to where you're just like, I just worked my tail off, come home and did this, don't get it more than like 4 hours of sleep, and I'm back at it again. If you felt that, like, you're doing something great. And so be encouraged by the fact that putting it all out there and giving it 100% to where you get knocked over by fatherhood, there's grace in that reality. And I want you to be encouraged by that.
Cool. This series, this episode, this channel, this podcast, however you're listening to it. And those of you who are watching on YouTube, just know we have this out in podcast format. Those of you who are listening to it on a podcast, we have it on YouTube. Make sure and share this with your friends. I had a thought about this earlier, and I don't know how many other people. I have a feeling it's going to get more and more common with my generation. I'm spending less and less time on social media. I'm not involved a whole lot in those places. Chris is completely distracting for those of y'all watching on YouTube. But so think about those other dads that may be disconnected from social media, may be disconnected from things like this, that actually need you to copy the link and text it to them. Do that. Like, take the link and share it with them, because most dads will watch a YouTube video here and there, just to make sure that the people that you know that need to see this actually see it, because they're not going to see it on social media.
And if that didn't make sense to you, you might be our target demographic as well. Like, if you're like, if you know of a dad that doesn't know how to work the internet, print this, the transcript out and mail it to him.
I didn't say doesn't want to. I said didn't know how to. I said doesn't want to. That's different.
Oh my gosh. You're just like, hey, if you haven't discovered technology yet.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. Stop making our demographic seem so old. You guys are still cool. You still matter. And what matters most is Catholic fatherhood. So keep living it out. Even incorporating culture to it. Hey guys, Catholic Dad Show, as always, is brought to you by The Village. So if you're looking for a community to grow deeper in Catholic fatherhood or Catholic parenthood, your wives are welcome to it as well. Where can they go to join The Village?
The blaze.us/The Village.
Awesome. Thank you guys again for another amazing week. Enjoy the big game in your life, and that is the gift of marriage and fatherhood. And we'll see you next time on The Catholic Dad Show.
God bless.
God bless. All right, stop, collaborate, and listen.
Ice is back with a brand new rendition.
Something grabs a hold of me tightly.
I forgot it. I need the music.
Cool to the something, daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I glow. To the extreme, I rock the mic like a candle. Vandal. Light up the stage Vandal. And send the pump like a candle. Dance.
Oh my gosh.
To my rhythm
beat melody. I really hope he does not
anything
use this.
Less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. A1A. Beachfront Avenue.
Oh my gosh. Scene. And I'm out. Mic drop.
All right. Peace.
Bye.